All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we are recapping the Falcons' Week 3 loss to the Chicago Bears with none other than The Athletic's Tori McElhaney, and she'll provide her insights into why the team suffered their collapse, some positives from the game, as well as her thoughts on Dan Quinn's job status.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Now, thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch, whether you're staying up late at night for a Monday night football game or will be in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in person in week 5, when the Falcons take on the Carolina Panthers. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power you through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. So guys, it's me, Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for well over a decade, formerly at falcfans.com, RIP. Still doing it on Twitter at FalcFans, and of course, now hosting this preeminent, world-renowned Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today we are going to be joined by Tori McElhaney of The Athletic, covers the Falcons for that great website. We've had previous Athletic colleague Jeff Schultz on the podcast. Now we have Tori completing the set. We've had Jason Butt in the past as well. You know, got to make the rounds. And Tori's going to be providing her insight into this week 3 game between the Falcons and Bears, her thoughts on some of the causes, the factors, the reasons for the team's blown lead, sort of what is the team's mentality at this point in time. Is it the identity, you know, these late game collapses? Is this the new identity that this Falcon team is discovering? You know me, guys, I've spent many years talking about this team's lost identity with letting players like Patrick DeMarco go, as well as other moves that they've made. I will make that argument as well for the team letting guys like Alford and Trufant go, in addition to that. But now they have a brand new identity. They've discovered their identity, and apparently it is losing games late. We'll talk about that with Tori, and we'll also talk about Dan Quinn's job status. We'll talk about some positives from the game. What were some of the bright spots that we saw in the first 3 quarters before the team suffered their epic collapse for the second week in a row? And all that's coming up today with Tori McElhaney, and we'll jump into that right now. All right, guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by none other than Tori McElhaney of The Athletic. She covers the Falcons, and she's going to talk with us about a lot of the negatives from the Falcons' Week 3 loss to the Chicago Bears, but we'll try to at least find a couple of positives when we recap this game. Tori, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Tori, glad you can be joining us. This is your first appearance on Locked On Falcons. Hopefully it won't be the last, but I guess we'll find out at the end of the episode if you feel like coming back. But, I wanted to sort of talk a little bit about this game. Obviously, another blown loss for the Falcons. Obviously, that's the big storyline. I do want to touch upon that. But I just want to sort of get your thoughts on maybe some of the causes for that. And one of the things I touched upon on Locked On Falcons on yesterday's episode, and we got some more news that the Falcons are dealing with a few more injuries a little bit. They went into Sunday's game beat up. They seemingly came out of Sunday's game even more beat up with injuries to guys like Young Wei Koo and Grady Jarrett and Darquez Denard, Russell Gage. All those guys got knocked out of the game. How much of a factor do you sort of think injuries played into their collapse and feeling like they were in a lot of ways mining the bottom of their depth chart at the end of the game to find guys to try to make plays, critical plays at critical moments at the end of the game?
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right there. And it was something that I think I've said a lot over the last 24 hours is just that, like, you can't look at this team and not think that they're one of the most beat up teams in the entire league. Like, I mean, we all saw what happened in week two and the extent of some of these, for some teams, very catastrophic injuries. And, but when you look at the Falcons, you know, knock on wood, there isn't an injury that seems exceptionally significant that it's going to be one that's going to linger for probably much longer, but it was just a lot of guys all at one time. I mean, I think it was like, you don't have seven starters on Sunday and then you come out of Sunday and like all the guys that you mentioned, all these guys are banged up and all of these guys play significant roles on offense and defense and special teams. I mean, you talk about Younghoe Koo in the news that came out today that, that he had a groin injury before the game even started. So it's just kind of, it's a lot. And you can't help but think how significant all of those injuries are and how much it does play into the what we're seeing. Now, do I think that it's the sole reason for what happened in the fourth quarter? No. Do I think that it made a difference? Maybe, but I mean, in the NFL, everybody's good. Everybody is expected to play at a specific level and to reach an expectation and a goal. And the Falcons didn't do it on Sunday. And it's now the second week in a row that they've done it in a horrible fashion in the last part of the game.
Yeah, you know, everybody likes to play the blame game. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, sort of, what do you sort of see as sort of the biggest factors for why the team sort of suffered that collapse late in the game against the Bears?
I think it's really interesting because if you were asking me that same question after Dallas, I would have said that, you know, it was mentally the Falcons weren't there. Like, you have that gigantic mental bust on that onside kick. And I thought that, you know, and then they start talking about in the days after the loss to Dallas, like, oh, we're playing a tale of two halves and, you know, we're getting into the second half and we're not finishing and we're not playing the way that we should. And that to me is like a mental thing. It's like, you've got to have the mental capacity to play a full four quarters. But after coming out of the loss to Chicago, it's like, is this just who this team is? And that was something that I wrote about the game is like, is this narrative of the Falcons giving up these gigantic leads that they have, is this the narrative or is this now the team's identity? Because it keeps happening. And I think when you look at the whole grand scheme of everything, like, it wasn't just a mental bust this time around. It wasn't just the defense playing poorly and giving up yards after yards after yards. It wasn't just the offense not being able to move the ball hardly at all in that fourth quarter. I mean, it's all of these things piling up on top of each other. And that's the biggest issue, is that it's not just, I mean, and this was what Matt Ryan was talking about after the game. He was like, I wish it was just one thing. I wish I could sit here and tell you that the reason why this is happening is because of X reason, but it really seems like it's X, Y, and Z reason why this keeps happening. And there are just so many different things that are playing into what we're seeing the Falcons do right now.
Now, you mentioned sort of the mental element of it. And part of me, and I've heard a lot of other people mention this over the last day or so, there's got to be some sort of element of the mentality of this team that when, you know, going into that fourth quarter, it's this element of, oh no, here we go again. Do you feel like mm-hmm. that played a part into it? And you mentioned sort of the identity of this team. Like, there's got to be some sort of mental disconnection, sort of, where I guess the team may have gotten a little tight. Do you buy into that?
I kind of do, because I mean, it's almost, so I use this analogy. It's kind of like, you know, if you put a car in neutral at the top of a hill, and the car starts slowly going down the hill and then it picks up more and more speed as it goes down the hill. That kind of seems like how the Falcons are doing right now. Like, once you get going even a little bit, once an opponent's offense gets going even a little bit, it's like all of a sudden they're going from 0 to 40 in a matter of a quarter. And you're looking at the Falcons not being able to put on the brakes and they're not able to stop it. And it's kind of getting out of control. And it's almost kind of like a landslide of like how they'll play so well, but as soon as an opponent gets a foothold, it's like it doesn't take them anything to get 10 more footholds and to turn this into a big monster where they're coming back in the final half of the game. And I think that's where it does kind of come to a mentality thing for me. It's like once a team gets one thing going for them, once they get one positive shift in momentum, it's like all the momentum swings to them. And I think if you are a good, mentally stable team, you are able to kind of right that ship a little quicker, and you're able to be like, okay, they had a momentum swing in this one 3 or 4 minute drive. Let's get it back on the next drive. And that's just not happening with Atlanta right now. And it's not happening on offense or defense.
Now I'm going to keep the conversation going with Tori. We'll talk a little bit more about maybe some of their issues struggling on the offensive side of the ball coming up on today's Locked On Falcons. So Tori was just talking about momentum shifts on the next Falcons drive. But the last thing you guys want in your next drive in your car is any type of momentum shift. So make sure you got all the right parts for your car or truck by heading over to rockauto.com. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new floor mats. You can get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. That rockauto.com catalog's unique. It's easy to navigate as you can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose by brand, specification, and prices that you prefer. And those prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? So go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So Tori, I'm curious to get your thoughts on some of the struggles that they had on the offensive side of the ball, where they really struggled to possess the ball in the fourth quarter. And I'm just wondering, from your perspective, do you think it's fair when people criticize Matt Ryan for his performance in this game, particularly late in the game?
I think it is fair to be like, you know, you were 0 for 7 in that fourth quarter. I do think it's fair to kind of be like, we want more from you. But I also wasn't 100% sold on the play calling in that fourth quarter. And we did talk to Dirk Cutter a little earlier today about kind of what went into that fourth quarter where you literally saw the Falcons unable. They literally had three and outs and literally couldn't get a first down. And it was just really not good. It was really, really not good. Probably one of the worst moments for this offense this year. And I mean, you look at it and it didn't seem like they were able to do what they wanted to do. And I asked him, I was like, what was Chicago doing? Like, how were they able to go from, you know, not stopping y'all in that first half to in the fourth quarter, y'all can't get going at all. And he was kind of like, well, they got into this nickel 51 package and they loaded up the box. And so it kind of took away the run. And when they did try and run it, they dropped the safety down and kind of filled in those spots and those holes that would have been pertinent for Todd Gurley, Brian Hill to be able to get to the second level. But I mean, it was just kind of like, okay, so the run game's not working. Let's start throwing the ball. And they wanted to be aggressive because they felt like they needed to score and to find separation that they were losing because the defense couldn't stop them. So it was just kind of like, it was one thing on top of the other, on top of the other. And that's what I go back to what I was saying before about how it just snowballs and how things just get rolling and they can't stop it. And with the offense, it was kind of the opposite effect. They just couldn't get going.
Yeah. I listened to Dirk Cutter say that about sort of that front that they went into in the fourth quarter. And I don't know, it just struck me, it rubbed me the wrong way because it sounded like the way that he was saying it, and maybe you can correct me if I'm interpreting this wrong, but it sounded like he said that they were prepared for it, but when the Bears did it, like they didn't have a counter to it. It was just like, well, if the Bears are doing this, then we have to do this. And it was like, well, if you knew that they were going to play that way at some point, why didn't you have something like, okay, when they do this, we're going to do this. You know, it kind of threw me off. I'm like, you know, going back to your point about play calling, where it's like, did you not prepare for this? I don't know.
Right. Right. No, and I think that it was interesting because I kind of had a similar thought, because he was talking about, he was like, yeah, we knew that they were going to do it. We were prepared for it. We'd practiced it, like, and then all that stuff. And then at the end, he was kind of talking about how they didn't pressure in the way that they thought that they didn't apply pressure the way that they thought that package was going to provide pressure for them. I don't know. I was also in the same boat. I was kind of like, okay, so what does this actually mean? Did y'all just not look at it the right way? Did y'all not practice it the right way? So that when it actually happened in the game and the Bears are throwing it actually out there at full speed, it didn't look the way that you thought it was going to look. I don't know. I was a little confused as well.
Okay. All right. So I'm not alone.
Not alone.
All right. Two peas in the same pot. Okay. That makes sense. You know, switching gears a little bit, we talked about a lot of the issues that the team had and leading to their demise in this game. But were there some positives? Were there some bright spots that stood out to you when you were watching this game, at least through the first three quarters of this game?
Yeah, no, I thought I took a lot of positives away from that first half. And it's really sad because the way that the game ended, like, you almost have to just completely throw away what happened in that first half or really in those first three quarters. If you're looking at the defense, what the defense was able to do, I thought the defense looked better on third downs. No, it didn't look that way in the fourth quarter, but like, I did think if you take the first three quarters for what they were, I thought they looked better there. I thought that the secondary looked okay. Definitely better than they had against Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott. And I say that, and I think it's funny because you were out AJ Terrell, you were out Ricardo Allen. Granted, Kendall Sheffield has not been there the entire year, but you were out. You didn't have him either. Like, so you were out a lot of guys in that secondary, and it didn't. They didn't seem to mind that much. Granted, I think. The fact that the Bears went from Trubisky to Nick Foles, I thought that was an interesting move, and one that I was not really expecting going in. I didn't think that was going to happen, but I was pleased with the secondary. I was pleased with Darquez Dennard. I thought Darquez Dennard played a great game. And he had one of the most interesting interceptions in the end zone that I think you'll see this year. And then the offense, I thought Calvin Ridley had a good game, as he's had a good game all year. I was pleased with the way, the other backup wide receivers kind of came in and had, you know, some roles here. I thought Todd Gurley and Brian Hill, I thought you saw the Falcons run the ball better than they have in the first three games combined. So all of that to say that none of that means anything if you can't finish the game. And that's what's really frustrating, is that, like, I want to say all these good things about the Falcons and be like, hey, they actually ran the ball pretty well on Sunday. And hey, like, Calvin Ridley did great. And hey, the secondary didn't look terrible. Darquez Dennard did a great job filling in for AJ Terrell. But when you get to the fourth quarter and you're outscored 20-0, that all goes out the window.
Yeah, I hear you on that, and sort of, I think I know the answer to my next question, but, you know, you sort of mentioned some of the positives, and you look at, you know, against Seattle, they kind of put together two decent quarters there that were competitive against Seattle. Obviously, they did similar thing against Dallas, you know, going up for three quarters. They had three good quarters against Chicago as well. So you look at it and you say, you know, they've played eight pretty good quarters, competitive quarters for, you know, out of their 12. So is there one way, is it too much of a spin to say that, you know, this glass is two thirds full and that this team is not that far from, you know, sort of putting these collapses behind them? Or are these collapses so blatant that, as you say, they sort of define this team and that becomes the pervasive narrative as opposed to focusing on the positive?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And I think it's really interesting because it's like all about how everybody perceives them right now. And right now, if you're looking at like the national football world, the national football population, all they see is that the Falcons are blowing these games, and they're not really seeing the good that they are doing in those first halves where they are getting up by 15 and they're leading Dallas 29-10 and they're leading the Chicago Bears 26-10. All everybody sees is what happens at the end of the game. And it's crazy because it's like what the Falcons, I think the Falcons could easily be 2-1 right now. Like I think they should be 2-1 right now. I don't know if they beat Seattle week one. But maybe it would definitely have been more a competitive game if they would have played a full complete game. But it's like, it gets into, okay, what do you take from all this? Do you take that the Falcons are a good team, but when they mess up colossally? Or is this deeper? Does it go deeper? Is this looking at the Falcons and being like, these collapses is what define them, not the good things that they do in that first half that give them the leads that they ultimately squander. But I mean, that's the narrative that I think everybody has. And I think everybody's different. I think everybody has something else that they kind of focus on. And I think right now the overarching majority of people who know anything about the Falcons, all anybody can think about is how they have just, they've had not one but two historic losses.
Yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts on that particular subject because it's going to lead me into my next series of questions talking about Dan Quinn's job security, because I think sort of deciding what the narrative is going to be, I think, could have a significant influence on sort of what Arthur Blank's decision is going to be. And we will sort of jump into that as we continue today's Locked On Falcons podcast here with The Athletic's Torrey McElhaney. So, you know, Dan Quinn's dealing with some stuff, and we're going to talk about that coming up on the podcast. But I can't guarantee Dan Quinn peace of mind when it comes to what his future is going to look like. But I could guarantee him peace of mind if he was looking for a protein bar that was low in sugar, low in calories, high in protein, high in fiber, and also tasted great. So you can get something healthy without sacrificing flavor. And Dan Quinn could be able to get in on that by going to BuiltBar.com. Built Bar has 6 new flavors. I've talked to you guys in the past about how big a fan I am of coconut, almond, and peanut butter flavors because all Built Bars have 100% real chocolate in them. Those flavors taste just like candy bars, coconut almond, almond joy, peanut butter, Reese's cup. But they have 6 new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. They're great flavors. Caramel brownies, a lot like a Milky Way, cookies and creams, Oreo, lemon almond cheesecake. I've explained in the past, tastes just like lemon meringue pie. So if you like that, if you're a big fan of cherries, like cherry chocolate cordials, cherry barcia is the thing for you. If you like carrot cake, yeah, you like carrot cake. If you like apple pie, apple almond crisp, you're going to like apple almond crisp. So check out the new flavors or go back to your old favorites, and you can do so by using the promo code Locked On when you head over to BuiltBar.com, and that will get you $10 off your next order. And don't worry, if you've already used that promo code before, you can use it again. So don't miss out on the all new Built Bar. Again, use promo code Locked On for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. So Torrey, you just answered a question about sort of what is the sort of narrative. Can you look at it from a, hey, this team is not that far, 2/3 of the glass full, or, you know, 1/3 empty. And that 1/3 is, you know, filled with poison, I guess maybe you could say, based off of how they finished some of these games. But I think that question leads into the conversation about sort of Dan Quinn's job security. He was, you know, we talked with your colleague at The Athletic last week with Jeff Schultz, and he's been on this podcast multiple times over the last several months talking about how close, how much on thin ice Dan Quinn was by the end of that season, and basically was on the precipice of being fired. I'm curious to sort of get your thoughts on that, whether or not you feel like it's a matter of when as opposed to if Dan Quinn gets fired.
I do think it's a matter of when. And I think that it's really tough too. Like, I mean, we're talking, I hate being like, this is the part of the job that I hate. Like, this is not fun. I think people have this misconception of the media that like, oh, we love like when coaches get fired. Like, no, that's not it at all. Like, we don't want to see that. And so this is tough. Like, it's tough to see this team that you know has so much talent. They're paying these guys so much money, especially in offense. They're paying these guys so much money, and then they're not finishing any of these games. They're not winning games. And you do have to ask the question, like, how much of this is on coaching? How much of this is on leadership? And I do think it's a matter of when, not if, Dan Quinn gets fired. And I hate to say that, but there has to be accountability somewhere. And when you are the head coach of an 0-3 team that's losing in the way the Falcons are losing, that accountability falls on your shoulders. That responsibility falls on your shoulders, and you're going to take the downfall for that, even if it's an everybody thing. And it is an everybody thing with the Falcons. I don't think it's just play calling. I think it's also the players aren't playing to their potential. I don't. So it all falls on the head coach's shoulders. And I do think if the Falcons can't turn this thing around, like, I mean, they have a good opportunity against Green Bay on Monday night, but I don't know if this defense can stop Aaron Rodgers. I'm afraid Aaron Rodgers is going to have 500 yards. Like, I mean, I just haven't seen anything over the last 3 weeks that makes me think that the Falcons are going to play a complete game and be able to give Green Bay a run for its money. And then you come back from Green Bay, you're on a short week, and you play Carolina. So it's nothing's getting any easier. You should beat Carolina, but you also should have beaten Dallas. You should have beaten Chicago. So all of that falls on Dan Quinn's shoulders.
It seems like a lot of people are sort of chomping at the bit for Dan Quinn to be fired, at least mm-hmm. within the fan base and maybe some other elements of the media talking about. Well, obviously we're talking about it, so I can't shift the blame elsewhere. But like, I wonder, do you feel like, as you mentioned, is it just simply an accountability thing where it's just kind of Arthur Blank, if and when he winds up doing that? Is it just simply sending a message to the fans and people out there like, yes, we're holding Dan Quinn accountable for this team's poor start? Or is there some element where it's like, well, if we move on from Dan Quinn now, we still have enough time to salvage the season? Do you think that element could wind up playing into it?
I think both of those do. I mean, I really do. I do think that both of those thoughts are there. I think Arthur Blank does need to win back some trust of this fan base. And say, like, you know what, like, I'm the owner of this team, and I'm going to do what needs to be done. And I think that, I mean, that's a part of it. And then there's also the part of it that's like, okay, if we can get changes rolling now, then maybe we can salvage this season. Because every conversation that we have with these players, they're talking about how, you know, we're still early in the season. Like, yes, we're 0-3, but like, we've still got so many games ahead of us. It's a long season, but it's like, what happens when things start getting rolling and not the way that you want them to roll? And that's exactly where the Falcons are. Like, how can you stop what's happening? And I mean, you saw it last year where the Falcons had the rough start that they did, and then they come out at the bye week and play very well and win a lot of games. Can you do the same thing this year? But the difference within this year and last year is like, I don't think it's acceptable anymore to wait until the bye week to be like, yeah, we're going to turn it on now and we're going to win games. People are tired of that. And yeah, I mean, Atlanta Falcons Twitter is a really dark place to be right now because people are angry, as they should be. These losses aren't acceptable. And it's really sad that how mad people are, but I get it. I know why they're mad. I would be mad too if the team that I was rooting for was losing like this. Like, it's not easy to watch. It's not easy to root for. So I think both of those ideas and both of those thoughts are there about what Arthur Blank needs to do with this coaching staff.
Okay, Tori, I appreciate you sharing your insights into this situation. It's the only way you can describe it. I hope that, you know, you'll have an opportunity to come back on the podcast at a future date. We'll sort of probably revisit some of these topics. You know, if Dan Quinn still has a job at that point in time, we'll just sort of have to see. But again, I want to thank you for coming on and go ahead and share with the listeners where people can find your stuff and what some of the content you have coming up at The Athletic in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter. It's @Tori_McElhaney. And then you can read all of my articles, all of my stories and features on The Athletic's website or on The Athletic app. Just go to the Atlanta Falcons page or the Atlanta City site or even my author page, and you can find all my stuff there. As far as what I'm working on, man, we're right in the thick of it, aren't we? Like, we have... the thing is this whole season looks so different than what a normal NFL season looks like. So we don't get access, to open locker rooms or anything like that, but just know that there is still worthwhile content, even though access doesn't look the same as it normally does. There's a lot of analysis pieces that I think I'll have coming up. And we're able to talk to some assistant coaches tomorrow. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. That we're able to talk to some of these guys about what is actually going on in their position groups. So look forward to that. And again, follow me on Twitter @Tori_McElhaney. And yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I'd love to come back on again. I enjoyed this.
All right. I will hold you to that. I appreciate that. Tori, again, thank you for joining me on today's Locked On Falcons. And I look forward to a future Locked On Falcons featuring your, excellent opinions on Falcons and whatever else we'll be talking about at that later date.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Bye.
All right, guys. There you have it. Thanks to Tori for coming on, sharing her insights into Week 3. Tomorrow's episode should be an all 22 review where I will sit down, watch the film, sort of glean my thoughts, my final takeaways on this Chicago Bears game before we turn the page and look ahead to the Week 4 matchup with the Green Bay Packers on Thursday for a crossover Thursday with Peter Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers. And, if you have any thoughts, questions, concerns, feedback that you want to provide me, of course, you can send them in via Twitter @LockedOnFalcons, via Facebook to @LockedOnFalcons, or send an email to LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. And if there's specific insights that you want from me in regards to the film, of course, I'll be happy to answer them on tomorrow's episode in a Q&A portion that deals with sort of the film. So there you guys have it. Appreciate you tuning in. We'll be back with more great content here on Locked On Falcons as we continue to look at this Bears loss, as well as turning the page, as we do every week, to the next game, you know, next team up, next matchup, to see if this Falcon team can get their season back on track. Until then, guys.